I'm going to read one verse of scripture to you from there, Mark 14 and 36. And I want to preach to you. I know today is Father's Day, and I want to preach to you on this title, How to Have a Great Father's Day. Now, sounds like a title of a book, but it really is just a small sermon that we're going to talk about Father's Day here for the next few moments. The book of Mark, chapter 14. And verse 36, we're just going to read one verse of scripture there. It is an intimate prayer of Jesus Christ, and we're going to take a phrase there, and we're going to build on it throughout this message. And I am mindful that on Father's Day, I do realize sometimes there are events, maybe family gatherings. I don't know everybody's personal what they do on Father's Day, but I am mindful of that, and I just want to honor the Father some here today. But we mainly want to honor our Heavenly Father more than anything. So Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. Mark 14 and verse 36. It says, "And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And basically, what I want you to focus on in that verse is that Jesus is praying and that he says this phrase, Abba, Father. Now, interesting, that phrase, Abba, Father, is only found three times in the New Testament there. It's found here in Mark 14 and verse 36. It is also found in Romans 8 and 15 and Galatians 4 and 6. I had contemplating going to all those verses, but you know, maybe we will here in a little bit. But I just want to preach to you once again on how to have a great Father's Day. And just want you to be blessed today. I want to challenge the fathers, but also want to honor our Heavenly Father in the meantime. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Father's Day, God, needing your assistance and your guidance. God, we love you and we thank you, God, that we have an example for all the men in this church. That example is you, God. We see the Father heart of God all throughout the Bible. And God, we witness it, God, in our own lives. We witness it, God, in our everyday lives. God, even as you deal with us as children, God, I ask you to be with us today. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And everybody said, amen. Father's Day is a precious time to honor our earthly fathers. For some of us whose fathers are still living, we should do our best to reach out to them and to let them know how much we appreciate them, if all possible. For others, I know it's a difficult time of the year. I've noticed even this morning on our Facebook there, people are sharing memories of fathers that have passed. And I read one yesterday. It was a wonderful tribute to a father who had passed back in 1982. But yet somebody remembers the impact that that father had on their life. And I'm sure here in this room this morning, there's a plethora of different ideas or different memories, we could say. I know my father. I do look forward to calling him sometime today and just letting him know how much I appreciate his provision and his care. And so thank God, if your father is still alive, I encourage you to do your best to reach out to them today. And I'm sure anybody whose father is not alive would tell you to do the same and to cherish those moments. But also, I understand this as well, that everybody did not have maybe the best example in an earthly father. I've been around enough people and talked to enough people. There's some people who did not even know their father, maybe in that sense, or maybe they knew their father, but this has horrible memories about some of the things maybe that took place in their home. I will tell you this, even though you may disagree with them, you ought to do your best at least to honor them, and you should want them to know the love of Jesus Christ that can permeate through your lives. Now, the influence of fathers is amazing. As many of you know, I'm a father. For the last 4 years of my life, it has been one of the most joyous things I've had the opportunity of being since I've been alive. I've been a son my whole life. Amen. I've only been a father for 4 years. But what's amazing about being a father, in my opinion, once you have a certain love for your children, when I'm reading the Bible, I feel like I can relate with God the Father in a small sense of what He maybe feels towards us when we are in a proper relationship with Him. Thank God that if you are born again this morning, you are a son or a daughter of God. It's called sonship. It's called the spirit of adoption. The Lord has now accepted us. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And my, what a wonderful thing. thing that is. But if we're not careful, I do believe, because there's been such a negative image of fathers here in this fallen world, if we're not careful, we're almost, I've noticed before in the past, people almost have a bad view of their heavenly father as well. But let me go ahead and tell you right now, even though I have a good father, I would never say that he was a perfect father, and I would never even say that I am a perfect father. I don't think anybody in this room would reach that acclaim to being perfect or flawless in that sense. But I can say that God is perfect. And we need to make sure that our hearts is right about this. I don't want to get off track with this, but this kind of touched my heart a little bit, as I do want to challenge the fathers that are here in the sanctuary here today. If your children are grown or if they're still young, I want you to listen to this. There was a president, and I was talking to another minister about this the other day, but I can't remember the president's name. But in his journal, this is what he said. One day he went fishing with his son, and this is what the president said. Went fishing with my son today, didn't catch anything. It was just a waste of time. Now, I look at that phrase, and if you've ever been fishing and didn't catch anything, I do kind of understand a little bit of what he is saying. But the interesting thing is, the son also had a journal, and his says, "Went fishing today, it was the best day of my life." Now, I look at that two different perspectives, and I often think about that in my own life as a father, how I must be careful to those little things in life that seem so small to me, or maybe I'm like, man, that wasn't a success, or that wasn't a big deal. But nevertheless, I realized that to my children, those moments with me as a father is something that's going to be precious. Now, they are not teenagers yet, because I am told when they become teenagers, they probably wouldn't write that in their journal. That's just from what I understand, and some of you might be able to attest to that. But I want to kind of just build on this just for a little bit, because here, how to have the greatest Father's Day, it is not based on the gifts that you receive from your children. Or is it based on just a earthly father, if you have a good or a bad example? It's not even based on the fact if your father is alive. But the way to have a great Father's Day is if you are sure that you are saved and you have accepted the blessed gift of adoption, and you know God as your heavenly Father. Now, the fatherhood of God is all throughout the scriptures, but in the New Testament, it is just so loud in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God does appear to be more lofty in that sense. We see mainly his dealings with Israel, and we do see the God-fearing Gentiles coming in. But what we see in the New Testament is almost magnified on this. We see through the life of Jesus Christ what it is to have a heavenly Father. Now, I get enamored when I read the prayers of Jesus to his Father, or what he acclaims to his Father. And many times when you look at the life of Jesus and you're reading through the Gospels, you see this beautiful intimacy between the heavenly Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. You see that witness all throughout the scriptures. And it almost, in my sense, almost makes me a little jealous, because I see the honor that Jesus gives and the dependency that Jesus gives to his Father, and he just honors him so. It's unparalleled to anything that we would ever see in an earthly level between a son and a father. You see this great, beautiful outpouring of love for his heavenly Father, but you also see the approval and the love from the Father to the Son. But thankfully, when we read the Bible, we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." So I read the story about Jesus, and I see the fatherhood and the sonship there, and I'm like, man, what a relationship. But then I read further in the New Testament, and Jesus goes on to let us know what he experiences, the provision that he experiences, and the love that he experiences from the Father, that you and I are entitled through his blood to experience the same exact thing. Notice what John said there in that short epistle of 1 John. The passage begins with this. He says, "Behold, what manner of love." Basically, what John is saying, he wants us to observe the manifestation of the Father's love. He has introduced that subject all throughout his writings, but he's wanting us to come and look and see what it is to be loved by God the Father. And he says, "What manner of love," or what we could put in updated language is this: what great love the Father has for us. I can tell you this here this morning. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. What greater example is the story of the prodigal son? What greater example? I don't know. Once again, everybody's individual experiences when it comes to your father, your earthly father. But can I tell you right now, even if you're dead, God forbid if he was, if your father was not a good man or did not show much affection towards you, I'll tell you right now, there's a heavenly Father who lavishes us with his affection when you will let him and when you come to Jesus Christ. Now understand, I've got to establish this in your mind because I don't want you to be confused. Everybody is not a child of God. The only way you are a child of God is if you are saved. Now, I know that bothers, when I say some people, I don't even know if you're here. I hope it doesn't bother you because it's scriptural. We do not teach that God is everybody's father. Now, you say, Brother Derek, where do you get such a concept? It's called the Bible. Matter of fact, and let me just tell you what the view, if you are not a Christian, what the Bible refers to you as, and please, in a society that's built on self-esteem, just get hold on. If you're not saved here today, you know, we may crush your self-esteem for a moment, but I can build it up with Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible calls us enemies of God if you're a sinner. I was an enemy of God. Now, and I'm not going to get into all that theologically here today because there's so many levels to that. But what I will have you know this, when I was of the age of accountability, I chose to live in sin. I did. I began to commit actual sins. And I know there was years of ignorance in my childhood where God in his mercy and grace, you know, he treated me in that form as I was an ignorant child. But when I become, when I am that sinner, when I am an actual sinner of committing sins, I was separated from God. I did not know his love. As a matter of fact, he wanted to love me, yes, in that sense. But yet I was an enemy of God because I had embraced sin. But notice the difference in the scripture. There's many different names used for God, but when you are born again, it says we are adopted to the place where we call him Abba Father. When you're born again, you become children of God. Listen to what it says in 1 John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, notice that, as many as received him. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you received the Lord into your heart? You know, he's not going to force it on you. Now, I will tell you at times conviction can be so strong, you almost feel like you don't have no option, but you do. You feel so driven. You feel so, I remember the day that I got saved, I thought another option wasn't even, at that moment, I said, man, if I leave here, I think I'm going to die. I don't want to leave this place. I think I'll just run to the Master. I do believe through Holy Ghost conviction, he can make the way seem so clear. And to be honest with you, when you had enough of the world, that way doesn't it looks so dirty and nasty and hopeless. But my, hear me, brothers and sisters, today, when the Lord deals with us, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you believed on the name of Jesus Christ? Have you received him? If you've truly done that from your heart, you know what it is to be born again and regenerated, and you are a child of God. You're not a slave. You're not disconnected. You are a child of God. Now, I've got to just, sometimes if we're not careful, we understand the Bible is made up of 66 books. Everybody remember that? We get into the Bible, and if we're not careful, we'll kind of get the wrong view of God at times because we do realize this, that he is our Lord. I mean, we know that. He is our Lord. I serve him. He's my king. And matter of fact, Paul would even use the word servant, which is bondservant, which means I am a slave. But we also understand the greater revelation is this, that not only is my Lord and do I obey him, but I obey him from the status of a son. He has adopted me into the family. I am one of the children of God. How intimate is this relationship? And the scripture tells us right here that we are able to call him Abba Father. Now, once again, I just read this to you from our text there in Mark 14 and 36. Jesus addresses his father's Abba Father in his prayer in Gethsemane. This shows us once again that relationship. And I found this interesting. The Jews did not use that term Abba Father in addressing God because it was considered to be too intimate of a term for a holy God. In the Old Testament, it was one of the great revelations of the New Testament that Jesus would even come on the scene and say, He is my father. Matter of fact, the Jews were offended by that because if he is your father, that makes you the what? makes you the Son of God. The Jews struggled to receive such a revelation. But notice here, the word Abba, Father, is an Aramaic word that means Father. It is the most intimate word that you could use when referring to a father. As a matter of fact, the equivalent in the English language has often been translated to this sometimes, that we're able to call him Daddy. Daddy is such an intimate term. That is something that my children call me at times. And I know it's a title they give to me. And me alone. Now, it's amazing because I was reading this one day. There's a gentleman by the name of Vodi Bachman, and he is a He's a wonderful writer about the family. And this is what Vodi Bachman says about relationships in the home. He says, it's amazing, you know, when you're dating. He said, your wife or at that time your girlfriend, the one that you were courting, man, they just see all that perfect in you, you know? And then you get married and you see that perfect in each other. And then you get married and you realize that you're not as, you know, he or she is not as perfect as you thought they were. There's something about them that maybe you dislike in the sense, not dislike to the place that you would want to terminate the relationship because your love is greater than that. But you don't like the way, you know, you realize you don't like the way that he squeezes maybe the toothpaste out the toothpaste tube there, or maybe they hang up the towel a certain way, or you know, maybe they say this a certain way, and you didn't know they snored. Uh-oh. Imperfections. And so your love, which is true and should be unconditional, I hope it can work past, you know, the way someone hangs up a towel. Now, the world can't even get past that. The world, they'll divorce if they don't like the way you park the car, you know? A true love is like, all right, look, okay, you know, I didn't know this about you when we were dating, but, you know, now that I know that, I still love you. I still love you. But then, you know, then the children are born. And Vodi Bachman said, you know, there's something that a man he kind of rediscovers in his children. Your children, once again, think you're perfect. My daughter thinks I am bad to the bone. She does. And she doesn't have a clue how weak I am. I mean, even all that source of security she gets at nighttime when it's dark. And I said, you know, I remember at one point, she doesn't really go through this no more, but she said, you know, there's a bad man. I said, oh, Daddy beat him up. He's gone. And you know, go right to sleep. My son, once I know I've shared this with you, and some of you know this, my son is terrified of these puppets we use during these puppet shows. Matter of fact, the other night we were there staying in a hotel, and my son, it was 4 a.m, and he got puppets on his mind. And he's laying in there, and I'm like, son, go to sleep, puppets. And Chloe woke up and said, Braxton, I need to get my rest. I'm the flower girl. And that's exactly what she said. And then she went on to say, the puppets are in a cage. And she was trying everything to get that boy to go to sleep. But I've said this before, and I'll tell my son, I made the puppets go away. And for some reason, that it didn't work the other morning quite as well as I wanted it to, but it works. What I'm trying to show you is this, is that when it comes to my children looking to me in that way, I'm sure they'll find out one day that Daddy is not as strong as they really, you know, think that he is. You know, maybe I can try to fix some things or whatever, but they'll realize that Daddy gets aches and pains, and they will only progress. The older they get, the older that I get, and the lesser that I am able to do. But I want to tell you this right now. When we talk about referring to God the Father as our dad or as Abba Father, it is an intimate word, and I'm letting you know right now, he is that strong. He is able to do absolutely anything that we can even comprehend. So my children don't comprehend this yet. My wife's figured it out. I'm not perfect and I'm not that strong. My children one day will come to that revelation. At some point in life, they'll realize that as an earthly father, I am limited in my abilities. But you will never get to a place with your heavenly father where you'll feel that he's limited, or you'll feel like that he's gassed, or you feel like that he's out of energy, or you feel like he needs a vacation, or you feel like he needs a nap because he's been cranky, or you figured out that he couldn't put two and two together. No, no, no. You'll never deceive him. You'll never get to a place that you'll be disappointed in him. Your heavenly father is that strong, and he is that perfect, and you are able to say, my heavenly father, my daddy, that intimate relationship, he is everything that you can imagine him to be. So that's what it tells us in Romans 8 and 15. We call by it through the spirit of adoption. How do I know I'm a son of God? Because the Holy Ghost lets me know this. He testifies to me. He witnesses in me. That's what Romans 8 is all about. And you know we don't have time to go to that loaded chapter of wonderful verses that we can read and meditate on. Do it in your own time. Romans chapter 8, walking in the Spirit. The Spirit testifies to me that I am forgiven. He testifies to me that I can make it. He testifies to me that I can be strong. He makes me more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Why? Is that because I have a heavenly Father who is in heaven that watches over me? So, what is the benefits of this? What can we talk about? Because the Bible tells us that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I know you know some of these things, but on Father's Day, I just want to paint this well enough that you comprehend it. We use these phrases sometimes when it's describing our relationship with God. Before you were a Christian, it was called a judicial relationship. Judicial, we think of law. And what was that judicial relationship? You're a sinner. You violated God's law. You deserve wrath and condemnation. That is judicial. How many knows when you're a sinner, you feel that? You do. Unless you really have moved to a certain level of deception. And self-deception is so very real that you feel like you're okay. When I was a sinner and you hear about this Heavenly Father that knows all things and sees all things, there's this judicial relationship that He's judge and I'm guilty. You understand that? But when you are born again and you are adopted into the family of God and the Spirit beareth witness with your spirit, you are no longer under what is called a judicial relationship, but you are under what is called a parental relationship, where now you know that He's not treating you as a judge, He's treating you as His Heavenly Father, as your Heavenly Father. And as your Heavenly Father, and many of us that are fathers or have children, you relate to what it is. You know the mercy and the love and the grace and the strength. And you want to just help them. You want to just show them the way. You want the best for them. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God wants the best for us. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to learn any lessons. Now, my son right now is going through a stage. He falls down at least 3 times a day. And he gets up and forgets that he just falls down because he just takes off running wide open again. If you were at the wedding the other night, you know, after the ceremony, you probably heard me say 1,000 times, Braxton, quit running, son, be careful. No, don't do that. And plat. You think he'd learn? Give it 20 minutes. There he is again. I'll tell you right now, though, I can't sit there and I don't want him to fall parentally. But guess what? The boy's got to learn. Watch where he's going. Here on earth, God will allow you to do the same thing at times. Look, I know God's not just going to push a button where you never learn or you never go through a trial or maybe you never fall, but He will do this. He'll be there to help you to get through it, and He'll pick you up and He'll say, all right, son, learn from this, learn from this. Now, there is a problem when you're 25 years old and you're still falling 3 times a day. All right, matter of fact, they tell the story about my great uncle. You know, this is way back in the day, I guess, before they had some of the medical breakthroughs where, anyhow, he would run into walls all the time. And finally, they were on the verge of maybe diagnosing him with a mental deficiency. Figure out, they got him a nice pair of glasses, and he was better. And boy, does he have glasses. And even to this day, I put them on just to joke around because you put them on, your eyes get that big. You know, if you were out there, you'd probably be like, wow. I mean, they're big glasses, thick. But what it was is that he just couldn't see where he was going. But, you know, when you're 5 and 6 and 7 years old and you're still falling and face planting 5 or 6 times a day, the doctors are scratching their head even back then and saying, look, something's got to give here. Something's wrong here. I'll tell you this right now. If you've been saved long enough, there's some things we should know better. God's there to help us as a parent, yes. But guess what? If you're falling every day, God's here to help you. He's here to help me and all of us. So He is a parent to us. Now, none of that was in my notes. That was free here this morning. And to save my time, I didn't have to outline all that for you. So what is becoming a child of God? Let me share a few things with you here this morning, and we'll be brief. The benefits of having God as your Abba Father is this. Number one, we get to pray to Him, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I still find great comfort in that, because sometimes when I get down to pray, I need a father. I need to be fathered. And so I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, my father, Abba Father, Dad, Lord, hear me. I need you today. I know you have good things for me. God, I know you have a plan for me. I know, God, that there's some things and obstacles I'm going to have to go through, but God, I need your strength to make it through another day and another week. So I go to him. That is a benefit of being a child of God. It's one of our great benefits. The second thing, we know we can pray to him as our Heavenly Father. But also understand this. We know that when we go to him, he is a holy and a righteous God. He's created and sustained all things. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is ever present. Not only allows us, but encourages us to call him Father. What a privilege that is. What amazing grace it is that God could love us so that Jesus would sacrifice himself for us and the Holy Spirit would dwell in us. Even the Holy Ghost prompts us to go to him. There's sometimes, brothers and sisters, I tell you what the Holy Ghost wants you to do, and it's very simple. He wants you to pray to your Heavenly Father. There's been a few times in life I think to myself, Lord, I don't know how to get through this, and I need your strength. I got it. I'm going through this in my mind, and I can't even. And at times, I'm trying to be transparent without sounding. It's definitely not a hopeless situation, but there's times in my life I've sat there and breathed so heavy, and I've said, God, I've got to have clarity. I've got to have direction. I need. What do I do as a pastor? And you know, God, I need your direction, and I don't know if you understand that as much as I do. I know in my position, at times I do. I know it maybe seems silly at times. But I'm praying, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will lead you to prayer. And you simply say, Father, I need you. And I've sat in parking lots. I sat in this parking lot in my car. And I felt the Holy Ghost invade that vehicle. And I felt the witness of a son to a father. It's nothing like it, church. It's absolutely nothing like it. Go in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. I want to share these thoughts with you, and I won't be much longer, I assure you of that. And this in one illustration. And some of you probably could quote these things. Luke chapter 11, if you would. Book of Luke chapter 11. Now, I love this chapter in the Bible because it is a pattern to prayer, because Jesus teaches to pray. And then instantly he begins to do miracles after this. But we notice in verse 1, it talks about how to pray. It talks about, I want to get down to this illustration. I do apologize. I should have had the verse written down. And notice there in verse 11, if you would. After he gives us a parable about prayer, verse 9, he says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you." This is Luke 11 and 9. "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Aren't they wonderful words about prayer? Look at verse 11. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone?" Question mark. What is the common sense answer? No. Kids can't eat rocks. It'll hurt them. Now my son will try, but I take it from him. And I'm not making that up. I've seen him eat a rock before, tried to. He said, "Would you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish?" Now notice, it gets even more, even more intense here. "Or if he asks you for some fish, will you give him a serpent?" And that word there in the Bible means a poisonous snake. Common sense is, if there's somebody that's passing snakes to their children, they need to go to jail. Something's wrong with these folks. You understand that? And that's when snake handling churches as well. All of them, that's craziness. Verse 12, "Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" You ever seen a scorpion? I've been to a few of these pet stores. They sell fish, and they sell scorpions. I don't know why. There's people that like to have them in their house and stuff, and if you have one, I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying, I don't know why. Explain it to me afterwards. If there's purpose that I know not of, share that revelation with me. So notice that. He goes on to say that, you know, if he asks you for an egg, you know, will you give him a scorpion? "If you then, being evil," notice that what he calls these fathers, evil. Now, if you study this out, God's not saying that every father is evil, but he's just basically saying, if you're earthy, if you're a human being, notice this, "if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children," which means if you've got common sense as a father, Notice this. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Brothers and sisters, this right here is a profound verse. Okay, is there ever any time? How about this? Let me put it this way. Does anybody here ever need strength at times? Okay. So we go to God and we say, God, I need strength. According to this verse, God says, okay, here's the Holy Spirit. Does anybody ever need peace? There's times I need peace. Okay, I go to God. God, I need peace. And He reminds me, well, I've given you my Spirit, Derek. He's living in you. He is one that will bring peace. I need strength. I need encouragement. I need direction. I need comfort. I need wisdom. And, you know, basically, I like what one preacher said it like this. It's like going to the doctor, and instead of the doctor saying, you know, you're sick. You can't figure out what's going on. And instead of the doctor saying, look, you know, here's a pill, the doctor says, you know what, I'll just go home with you for a few days. God doesn't give you a pill. He gives you Himself. That is the gift of the Heavenly Father, is this, that He's given you Himself, His Spirit, His investment, His seal, His being. He's given us the Holy Ghost. Thank God that the Spirit of God, we see Jesus praying, Abba, Father. We know that now we can do the same thing. We can pray, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies to us. We have this encouragement and this boldness to go before Him. He is a King. We can go before the throne of grace because He is our Father. There's this illustration. I'm going to close with this as my wife makes her way to the piano. There's a story I read in an illustration book called Disturbing the King. Disturbing the King. The story is told of a king who was in a throne room holding a council with his advisors, noblemen and high ministers of the state. Suddenly there came a bang and a clatter at the door of the throne room. This just wasn't supposed to happen, all right? He's the king. These are sacred moments. And people could even be put to death for this, or at least be arrested for such a thing. All eyes turned to the door as it burst open and a young boy ran into the throne room. One of the king's royal guardsmen tried to stop the boy. Hold there, lad, he shouted. Don't you know you're disturbing the council of the king? He's your king, laughed the boy, but he's my daddy. And he ran up to the throne with his father's arms outstretched. He sat on his father's lap and his father said, proceed, please. Proceed. What I got from that little illustration I thought was so encouraging is, you know, oftentimes in life, when we go before the throne of grace, be reminded that you're not disturbing the king. He's your heavenly Father. Oh, you know how the devil is. Oh, he'll come along. You ain't worthy. You're not this and blah, blah, blah. Accuses and all those things. And even if you listen to your own mind, you'll do the same thing. But just remind yourself as you go into the throne room, there's a king that's on that throne. He's your heavenly Father, arms wide open. And through His Spirit, you're able to have access to Him on this Father's Day. How do you have the greatest Father's Day ever? It's when you know Jesus Christ, when you know God the Father, when you know His Spirit, and you know that you have a heavenly Father. Stand to your feet if you would. So today, as we celebrate fathers, we celebrate the fathers of the church, the men of the church. First, what I want to do is, I want us in a moment of prayer. Can we thank God for our Heavenly Father right now? Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father.